Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we open up the mailbag to discuss if Dwayne Wade would actually leave the Heat to sign with a team in China.
Then we'll discuss trading Hassan Whiteside to the Western Conference and what the Heat would have looked like with Carmelo Anthony. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat for the NBA for Fansided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
Now, David Ramil, credentialed NBA writer who has covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and Fansided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
We're opening up the mailbag today, something we usually do on Mondays, but we posted the first ever episode of our game show called Heating Up to start the week instead. If you haven't gotten a chance to go listen to that, definitely take the time because it was a lot of fun. We had Ethan Skolnick, Rowan Nedkarny, and Josh Eberle on to discuss what stars the Heat should target and a whole bunch of other things. But today we're going to answer your questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat on Twitter or by emailing us at lockdownheat@gmail.com. But first, let's get to this report out of China, David, suggesting that the Xinjiang Flying Tigers are prepared to offer the guard, Dwayne Wade, a monster deal to play in the Chinese Basketball Association this upcoming season, as opposed to playing, obviously, for the Miami Heat. David, are you buying or selling D. Wade possibly playing next season in China?
That's tough. You know, the Xinjiang Flying Tigers, my second favorite team. You know, obviously that's alluring. I'm not quite sure. You know, obviously I've voiced my concerns about Wade's tenure with Miami a number of times already. I still think he's tending to retire, but I could see the allure of this experience. Like, if we're looking at Wade from that perspective that I've mentioned before, that his tenure in the NBA is pretty much at an end. He's accomplished everything he needs to. He's followed LeBron James. He's gone and played at home in Chicago. He's come back to Miami and enjoyed some success here and helping to guide the team into the playoffs. I could see the aspect of being paid, one, a lot of money, and then, two, playing in front of a Chinese audience and kind of understand or trying to understand what that might be like. Look, we've seen him and Udonis Haslem traveling there recently. I could see both of them going to play for the Flying Tigers, and that would be a lot of fun, I think. And I mean, to have your friend with you, a guy that's, they've described their relationship as being more fraternal than anything else. They are brothers more than just friends or teammates. So for them to go together on this other adventure, I'm buying, to be honest with you. I could absolutely see this happening. I think it would hurt for a lot of Heat fans. I think for a lot of NBA fans to expect this. This doesn't feel like Stephon Marbury or any number of Heat or NBA players who have gone to China looking for a buck or waiting to pass the time as they did during the lockout shortened season a few years ago. This is about getting paid, one, getting a chance to play and produce at a high level, which they both will probably be able to do, and to enjoy this experience together. So if you're asking me, I totally could see this happening.
You and I agree on a lot of things.
This isn't one of them.
And I don't know. I know that maybe, yeah, this is not one of them. I, as much as we talk, I feel like you and I ended up talking each other into maybe some sort of neutral ground on a lot of things that you and I essentially occupy.
Yes.
But this, we have been talking about Dwayne Wade's future for a couple months now, and you and I don't think could disagree more.
We should make a bet. I want our listeners, you know, they're so active. We love you all of our listeners that listen to the show and chime in with questions. We should take a bet. If Wade retires, Wes should do blank. If Wade comes back to Miami, I'll do blank. I don't know if it's like a charity thing, maybe, or maybe eating like some kind of hot peppers or something like that. I'm down regardless. You know, I want our listeners to chime in because at this point,
yes,
we've got such differing points of view that I'm curious to see how it all plays out at this point.
Yeah, and what's funny is that I was with you originally. I thought Wade was retiring, and the more this goes on, I think he's going to play. And I think he's going to play with the Heat. I think that there's zero chance he goes and plays in China. Now, look, anything's always a possibility. I said 100 times on this show that there was no way Wade would leave Miami, regardless of what contract disputes were going on with the front office, and he goes to Chicago. I've been surprised before. I've been wrong several times.
Mm-hmm.
But there is just no way he goes and plays with China. And there's, first of all, it's not going to be about money. whatever this monster deal is, it's relative to what the Chinese Basketball Association typically pays players, not what the NBA pays players.
He could get paid.
He could pay max level money
for 1 year.
In China?
In China.
The highest paid player in the CBA makes at most $2 million a year.
Well, they could change that for Dwayne Wade.
I don't know. Where is the money going to come from? I don't know if the CBA is that lucrative or lucrative enough to really offer Wade. I mean, Miami still has their mid-level exception that they could spend. $5.5 million that they could spend on Dwayne Wade if they choose to do that. But even if they just offered him the minimum, for a player at his age and experience in the NBA, he would be more than the maximum contract that guys are getting paid in China right now. So it's not going to be about money. I don't see it. I could see it as maybe a business situation where he goes overseas and really builds up the Leaning brand and his individual brand in China. You see guys like Tracy McGrady, for example, who are still getting paid the dividends of the investment of time he put into the Chinese market when he was playing. And I could see that, you know, just trying to build his global brand. But you look at these Instagram videos and what he's posting. I don't think he needs that much help. He's already got the lifetime deal with Leaning. That's inked and done. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much help he really needs in the Chinese market. This is Dwayne freaking Wade, the second greatest two guard of all time. And you got to assume that he's going to be okay. He doesn't necessarily need to play there. He goes over every summer. I don't know how much that would help necessarily. And I also think about all that plus Gabrielle Union and her career in the United States and his kids. I mean, we talked about why he came to Miami in the first place. He wanted to do what was right by his family. I don't see how uprooting this family after less than a year back in Miami would be good for that family. I just don't see the reward for Dwayne Wade. I don't get it. I don't understand why he would do it. And look, maybe we could talk about playing time with Miami, but the Heat are going to bring him back. They can't not bring him back at this point if he wants to play again. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see Dwayne Wade as the kind of guy who's going to look at this roster and be like, wow, Deion Waiters, Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington, there's no room for me here. Yeah, right. There's no way he's going to ever sell himself on that idea. I just don't see a world in which he goes to China. I don't see it.
Okay. The family point is well made. I could totally see why it would be a huge factor against playing in China to miss out on crucial moments of your son's development. And of course, as you pointed out, your wife's career and everything else. Although China is, I guess, relatively closer to LA. I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, you're absolutely right. And I also want to point out, did you just bump Kobe off the shooting guards list of all-time greats?
I didn't bump him off. He's third.
Really? You've got Wade climbing past Kobe Bryant on as far as the overall shooting guard list?
I've had D Wade. I've got Michael Jordan, D Wade, Kobe,
Deion,
Jerry West,
Deion.
Deion Waiters.
Ray Allen, somewhere around there.
And then the Iceman. Am I forgetting anybody?
I'm sure we are. But
Mario Chalmers? Mario Chalmers counts as a point guard. But he's so versatile, he could play both.
Yeah, he's somewhere in the top 10 at every position.
All right, let's talk about the last possible destination for an Hassan Whiteside trade. Whiteside, who has recently started working out at Dwayne Wade's gym, and we'll just get into the mailbag after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat, we'll talk about what the Heat would look like if they had acquired Carmelo Anthony back in 2014 later on. But let's get to this question from Tyler, who writes in, what do you think of trading Hassan Whiteside to the Clippers for Danilo Gallinari or a package surrounding those two? He makes about $4 million less per year and has the same length contract, 2 years remaining. The Clippers lost DeAndre Jordan and don't have a starting caliber center on their roster. Gallinari is always injured, but when he's healthy, he can contribute at the four to stretch the floor. This also allows more minutes for Bam and Olynyk. This seems like the only team that has a need at center, and as a player whose salary could match, would the Clippers be interested? David, what do you think? Because I hadn't really considered the Clippers since they lost DeAndre Jordan. We've talked about a number of teams like Sacramento, Portland, Washington. Washington filled their need, I guess, with Dwight Howard. Portland re-upped Yusuf Nurkic. Sacramento drafted Marvin Bagley III. There's some other options. Milwaukee doesn't really seem to be interested in a player with Whiteside's salary demands. Maybe the Clippers make sense. We can't really tell if they're rebuilding or not, and they do sort of have a needed center. I, Montrezl Harrell is not yet re-signed, and
he is.
We don't know what the he is re-signed. Did that happen over the weekend?
Yes, I missed that. Yes. So so to answer Tyler's question, the Marcin Gortat,
they have.
They have Marcin Gortat. They also have Boban Marjanovic. I mean,
right.
That's all the starting caliber center you need right there. I mean, it's not an overwhelming group at center, obviously, but they have options. They're paying them a number of, a significant amount of money. Gortat was traded there, so he's still collecting whatever his salary was in Washington. Boban had signed that great deal with Detroit a couple seasons ago, which he's still getting paid on. And Harris just, he just signed there for, I think, 4 years. I want to say $7 million per year, somewhere around there. So he's back for a number of years there. And I think, moreover, they're moving forward with the idea of creating cap space for next summer, because if we're to believe the reports that we've heard, Kawhi Leonard is still interested in joining a team in Los Angeles and not necessarily the Lakers, as everybody would assume, that the Clippers were, in fact, a premier destination for Kawhi and his camp. That, in fact, he may have even been upset about the possibility of joining the Lakers because LeBron's already on that team, so there's no reason for him to go ahead and join that. He can go to the Clippers instead and help rebuild that franchise. So I think that's a lot to offer. As far as Gallinari is concerned, I think it was last summer when he signed with the Clippers? It was, right?
Yes.
That seems like an eternity ago. And I remember just a year ago having these conversations, or maybe a year and a month ago, having these conversations about Gallinari as a potential free agent and Miami perhaps being in the market for a guy like Gallinari, who is a stretch four, as Tyler points out, can space the floor, can do a number of things, can put the ball down when healthy. That when healthy was tested yet again when he missed almost all of last season. And he continues to do so. This is a great player who is never going to be healthy. There's just no chance at this point. So having him on your roster for the kind of money that he's going to make, to me, seems like a waste. I'd rather try and rehabilitate to the best of their ability Hassan Whiteside and to make an impact. Look, Ethan Skolnick, if you haven't heard the show, he spoke about the frustration within the organization that they're at a boiling point now where Whiteside and that relationship can never be repaired. I don't buy it personally. I think I can understand why that frustration is there, and I'm sure that it is, but I think they're also pragmatic enough as a team and a front office where they have to say, look, he's on the roster. He's not going anywhere. I don't think we want to devote $20 or $18 million to paying Gallinari to sit on the bench and continue to rehabilitate rather than trying to get something out of Hassan Whiteside while he's currently on that roster. Yeah.
Gallinari, you're right. This is sort of the extreme. We've talked about, trading Whiteside, that bad contract for another bad contract, yeah. But that might not be worth as much. The only incentive this is sort of the extreme example of that, because Gallinari is never going to be healthy. If Miami were to have Gallinari, you're lucky if he plays 20 games for you.
Oof.
I mean,
yeah, per year. I mean, maybe in total.
Yeah. So it's just like, this would be the extreme example of that. Now, and so I agree with you. I wouldn't do it. I would rather just. See
now,
what
we were talking about
side, and then maybe you kind of bolster his trade value and you can move him at the deadline for something
to your point, you had said something. I mean, maybe at one point trying to acquire Jan Mahimi from Washington, that's one of those bad contracts that you'd have to take in exchange for Whiteside. But at least Mahimi can contribute and he's not going to be a negative presence there. I don't know,
right?
I mean,
Gallinari, even if he were healthy, I'd rather have James Johnson on the floor, I'd rather have Justice Winslow on the floor, I'd rather have Olynyk at the four next to Bam Adebayo. Right. Gallinari seems like a nice player. I don't buy it. That said, if the Clippers were willing, you made a good point about they need to retain cap space for Kawhi. If they are able to make a swap for Whiteside for Gallinari, they're still getting off the Gallinari deal. The difference is about $4 million. They have assets that they can make moves with if they need to clear an additional $4 or $5 million worth of space. I think they are able to maintain the cap room that they already have. If they just do a swap for a Whiteside for Gallinari swap, I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue for them. Right. That said, if I'm the Heat, I'm not taking Gallinari for Whiteside. They got to throw in another asset. If this is, and to go back to Tyler's question here, he said built around those two players. Okay, let's build the deal around those two players. But the Clippers also have to send back draft pick or draft picks, maybe a young asset, a young player, somebody like, I don't know, Juwan Evans, like a young point guard who might be able to one day replace Goran Dragic in the starting unit, be your backup point guard in the meantime. I don't know, but Gallinari for Whiteside isn't enough. That doesn't get me going. They need to throw something else in.
Yeah, and that I could absolutely see. I mean, they don't have much. I mean, Pat Beverly's an option, but he's making $5 million a year. That's not really realistic.
Yeah.
Sam Decker, I mean.
The draft pick would be.
Draft pick would be
better than anything else, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. A pair of second rounders or something like that. I don't know. All right, what would the Heat have looked like if they had replaced LeBron James with Carmelo Anthony back in 2014? We'll talk about that when we come back after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat, Billy emailed us with an intense hypothetical, David. It's intense. This is a big one.
Yeah.
So bear with us, listeners, while I read this off because it's lengthy. With the talk of Carmelo to the Heat, and this is me here, it has since been reported since we got this email that Melo will sign with the Houston Rockets, but this whole hypothetical still works as a conversation piece. Even though he isn't the same player he used to be, it got me thinking. How would Carmelo of 14-15 have been on the Heat? I wanted to throw out a hypothetical about the summer of 2014 when James returned to Cleveland. In this hypothetical, James tells Pat Riley that he's going back from day one of free agency, and the Godfather goes and snatches Carmelo Anthony from the evil clutches of James Dolan and the Knicks. From there, the Heat still acquire all the same players as they did that year, Chris Posh still gets the blood clot, and the Heat still pull off a trade for Goran Dragic to create a big four of Dwayne Wade, Goran Dragic, Carmelo Anthony, and Luol Deng, in parentheses, since Bosch is hurt. Mm. So, basically, everything that happened in 14-15 happens again, health-wise and trade-wise. But the Heat have Anthony on the books for 4 years with a player option for the fifth. How many games do you think the Heat win in 14-15? And if they make the playoffs, how far do you see them going? So, a couple things that we need to just sort out here, because this is a large hypothetical, like I said, intense. Realistically, they probably don't sign Luol Deng. If they get Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And then they probably use those assets that they traded for Goran Dragic to land Melo in the first place.
No.
Right?
No, because Melo was a free agent at that point.
Was he a free agent?
He was a free agent in 2014.
And then he
signed with the Knicks.
And that's when he had the new trade.
That's when
clause.
He had... Remember, that's when Derrick right. Rose wouldn't recruit and Carmelo was... he saw... his jersey, they made like a big deal of trying to appeal to Melo. Derrick Rose was working out next door, but not recruiting him at this point, and it was a huge hubbub. So yeah,
this is possible outside of the Luol Deng thing because Miami was nudging near the cap even this offseason. But let's throw all that out the window. Let's just say they find a way to get Luol Deng and they still get Goran Dragic at the trade deadline.
No, that wouldn't be possible though. It would not be possible to get Deng because
let's throw Deng out. So we're replacing Melo
with a huge
Deng.
Amount. And remember the steps that took place before LeBron signed. Obviously no Danny Granger, no Josh McRoberts, right? No need because James has been upfront with Pat Riley from the first moment, saying I want to go back and build my brand and reconnect with my Northeast Ohio roots. I'm going to Cleveland. So Pat isn't shocked the way he was. He didn't get that punch in the gut the same way he did in 2014, and he starts immediately going into rebuilding mode. At that point, you try to re-sign Wade, maybe convince Wade to... Well, he took less money in 2014. Maybe you convince Chris Bosh to take less money. Or maybe Chris Bosh goes to Houston, too. I mean, the way that he had originally planned on taking that contract with the Rockets. So that's a lot to consider. I imagine that he probably could have convinced Bosh to come back. And I know, obviously, Dwayne Wade and Carmelo are friends, so maybe they could have worked out something. So let's say that there's at least a big three of Wade, Bosh, and Melo here. What the next steps are, that's tricky. You re-sign Mario Chalmers in 2014. Do you re-sign Chris Anderson at center, probably?
Yeah, I think you bring them all. I think you just try to run the team back, essentially.
With Melo replacing James in the lineup.
Exactly. And I could still see them going for that. The only I don't know if that they would make the Goran Dragic trade at the deadline. Because they have the scoring punch, like the 1-2 scoring punch of Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade.
I think that gives them even more reason to go after Dragic.
But yeah, that's a good point. So let's go with the whole hypothetical the way it is, except for the Luol Deng piece, because you're right. That would not have been a possibility. So Dragic joins the team at the trade deadline, right? So you get half a season of Dragic, and you get a half a season of Chris Bosh, right?
Yeah.
They swapped the halves. So how many games do you think they win that year then, David?
With that three, I think they probably go at least 50 wins. I mean, they fell short of the 500 mark and fell into the lottery because they lost Chris Bosh, because they didn't have that momentum, because Dragic and Wade didn't mesh right away. And that's not to say that it wouldn't have been difficult trying to incorporate Melo, But if we look at what would have happened in 2014, the same way that we expected it would have been had he signed with Miami this year, they probably would have gone Melo in great shape, better shape than he ever was in New York. It would have been a very comfortable system where Spo would have been able to reach out to him the same way he did with another superstar mentality in LeBron, and he would have been able to appeal to Carmelo and have him focus on being a better, useful player. And I think the way that Chris Bosh's game expanded, I think he could have convinced Melo to do the same thing, where he wouldn't have been taking long twos. He wouldn't have been jab-stepping and killing the clock incessantly. I think he would have been a much more willing passer, more of the version that we expect him to be in Houston, perhaps, where he's, you know, fitting alongside other all-stars. I think they would have been a very, very good group. Now, they would have had some depth issues, I think. They would have probably had to build up the bottom part of that roster with some young players. Now, Tyler Johnson had come up that year. Hassan Whiteside had come up that year. So, I mean, those things could still have happened. You potentially could have had, I mean, what a lot of people expected to be the case, you probably could have had a really great starting group unit. Who would have played the small forward position, now that I think about it, though? I guess Carmelo at that point was even more reluctant to play the four, even though that's probably where he fits best.
Yeah, I mean, if where you're going, and I think this is what you're talking about, is you have Whiteside at center, Bosh at power forward for like the first half, then Melo at the three, Dwayne Wade, and then eventually Dragic. you start with Chalmers, and you eventually end up with Dragic at point guard. I think Melo probably would have played the three at this point. Then you could also make the case that if they were to try to, because that was the same year as well where they ended up, before even Whiteside kind of developed and burst onto the scene there, they started with Bosh at center, but they ended up going slow and slowing down the pace. They ended up starting Chris Anderson and Chris Bosh at the five and the four in the front court. But you could argue that they wouldn't have to do that if Melo was there and they had the scoring punch of Carmelo Anthony early on in the season. You could argue that they could have maintained that fast pace that they were playing in the Big Three era.
I wonder if you could have convinced Shane Battey to re-sign for 1 year at that point.
That's a good point. I mean, but even if you didn't have Battier, right? I mean, I don't know who they had James Ennis that year, didn't they?
Yeah, they were struggling to find pieces there. I mean, Granger obviously was never quite healthy. He contributed some. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Deng was the starting three, but he wound up playing a lot of four eventually. And you know, when Chris was hurt, so
right,
it's, you know, building that roster is a different aspect. You know, when you're missing, or when you have Carmelo as an option there, and you can't build it the way that they had historically, or they actually had a couple of years ago. So
that said, if they had signed Carmelo Anthony early on, they might go, instead of signing guys like Granger and Josh McRoberts, like you were talking about, maybe they do find the next Shane Battier and Rashard Lewis, and then sort of use that player.
It's entirely possible
to play the four. I mean, they had Neon Sean Williams. Remember him?
Oh my God, the one season of Sean Williams that was phenomenal. it was a great 1 year for Sean Williams.
The Heat won ago. What 37 games that year? Yeah, they won 37 games that season. The Knicks won less than 20 games that season, but it was basically a team with Carmelo Anthony, Andrea Bargnani, and nothing else.
Oh man, Bargnani,
and that says a lot. Yeah. So it's hard to kind of make. To draw any conclusions off that Knicks roster that was just depleted. I don't know if they would have hit 50. And I don't know that they would have been even a realistic playoff.
Ooh, Lamar
Odom. If they make the Dragic trade, maybe they
hit. Free agent that year, too, after he had been waived by the Knicks.
Yeah, there was a lot going on with Lamar Odom that summer.
Wasn't Miami in the mix, though? Like, didn't they?
Yeah.
I remember reports of Dwayne trying to convince Lamar to come back to Miami and recap some of that. That great experience that he had there in 2003-04.
So Carmelo would have been still on the books for this. This would have been his last year on the Heat.
Yeah.
Or last year on for that contract.
Yeah, the way Chris
Bosh. I don't see how much. I mean, so the Heat wouldn't have been. I'm assuming the Heat would not have been in the lottery had they gotten Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, no
that
justice.
Year. You might, so no justice.
Josh Richardson could have started. Maybe he would have been the starting three.
Well, maybe like the year after. Yeah, I mean, if they had still tried to buy themselves into the second round or use that second round pick on Josh Richardson, because it wouldn't have been as high as a second round pick.
Yeah.
So maybe they're able to move up and get Richardson. I don't know. But a lot of different things change. But I'll tell you this: I don't think that they're any better off now with Melo. If they had not signed Melo, I mean, instead of going into that next year with Dragic and a nice young group, but with Josh Richardson and you know, Tyler Johnson develops, Whiteside develops, you got Winslow and Richardson that next year, and they end up winning 48 games. I don't know that that happens if Carmelo Anthony is there. He starts falling off almost immediately after signing that contract with the Knicks.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot. I don't think that there are any, and I don't think this is what Billy was asking. I think he was just kind of wondering this hypothetical situation, but I don't think that they're any better off now had they been able to sign Melo in 14. I guess it would have just been interesting. I guess. I don't know. Maybe Dwayne Wade never leaves if Carmelo Anthony's here, and then there's
probably
that
not.
Whole other
yeah, probably
wrinkle
not.
Too.
Yeah. And I mean, look, from a fan perspective, I think you can still kind of build on the allure of the Carmelo Anthony name, right? I mean, you lose one superstar and LeBron James, but you say to yourself, huh, we've got another somebody else to slide into the big three. I just can't see a world.
You're able to maintain some of that excitement a little bit.
Yeah, but I can't see a world where where Carmelo wants to be like a fill-in for LeBron James, you know? Like, people are going to be comparing him, and that's tough because obviously Carmelo, even on his best day, doesn't compare to LeBron James at any point. So it would have been a very difficult try and sell Carmelo on the idea of coming in and filling in for LeBron. Look, you have to give credit
and leaving New York where he wanted to play.
I'm sorry,
yeah, and leaving New York where he wanted to do that
to his hometown,
and he wanted to be in New York. Yeah,
yeah, you know, it's an interesting hypothetical, but you wonder whether or not maybe they would have hit the reset button differently. I think that the idea of bringing back Luol Deng and paying a lot of money to Chris Bosh is because you get gut punched by LeBron's decision and you have to rebuild and you do whatever you can. And we're talking about, for as much grief as people give Pat Riley for making the moves he has over the last few years, I think he's still trying to recapture some element of being a consistent winner and trying to push for a playoff, even if their ceiling is ultimately pretty limited. In 2014, when you lose LeBron, maybe you're not as surprised and you say to yourself, well, maybe it's time to reset and maybe you can convince Chris to sign for less money. Maybe you let him walk and then you kind of build around Dwayne Wade and other players.
I feel like that first season where they ended up with the 10th pick in the draft and had that losing season kind of served as the signal to reset. That was the reason why you reset. I mean, had they, like you say, if they sign Melo, maybe they win 40-plus 50 games and make the playoffs. And all of a sudden, Pat Riley's looking at this roster like, yeah, we take a step down from LeBron to Carmelo Anthony, but we still got three all-stars with Dragic, Wade, and Melo that we could build around. Now, if the Bosch thing still happens, which it would have, it still serves as the same issue. But maybe the reset never happens, and Riley's just trying to cobble together sort of every year, you know, guys to play around those three guys, and who knows what happens. But instead of really starting to, I don't know, build at least a somewhat of a young group between Winslow Richardson and Bam Adebayo and guys like, you know, you probably don't re-sign a Tyler Johnson.
No, definitely
go out and get James Johnson and Deion and all those guys. So
yeah, that was an intense hypothetical. Thank you, Billy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening, and thanks to everybody who sent in mailbag questions. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.